Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 13. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that you help us to treasure it, to meditate on it, to believe it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I wonder if you enjoyed treasure hunts as a child or even now. The anticipation of what you might find, the thinking, the searching, the teamwork, or perhaps the competition, the finding and the fun. I recently came across this set of clues for a treasure hunt that a mum left to her teenage children. Number one, good morning, darlings. Can't find your phones, so sorry. If you do a thorough enough job cleaning the bathroom, their location will be revealed. Love, Mum. Number two, me again. Nice job cleaning. Your phones are in a place you've probably never seen, the bottom of your hamper. Unfortunately, they are dead. Empty the dishwasher to reveal the location of the chargers. Number three, don't you just love treasure hunts? The charges are in the empty cereal box that one of you put in the pantry. Number four, having fun yet? Take out the trash and recycling and come find me to get the new Wi-Fi password. Sure, none of you have ever done anything like that, but perhaps you've dreamed of doing something like that at times. Today, Jesus takes us on a different kind of treasure hunt as he invites us to seek first the kingdom of God. Today, Jesus takes us on a different kind of treasure hunt as he invites us to grow deeper in our understanding of the mysteries of God. Today, Jesus takes us on a different kind of treasure hunt as he invites us to discover the hidden potential, worth, warning, and treasure of the kingdom of God. Firstly, it's hidden potential, and for the kids, if you're opening up your bags, this is the first two treasures to find. The first two parables Jesus gives us are things that seem very small and insignificant, but have incredible power or potential hidden within them. The mustard seed, which they say can weigh as little as 1/750th of a gram, tiny seed, but bursting with potential to become a great plant or shrub or tree, so much so that the birds can find shelter in its branches. And the yeast, a tiny amount added, mixed in, literally hidden into flour, which can react and expand and make enough dough or bread or often in our case pizza to feed the whole family. These small things and this hidden potential within them. Now, there's something about the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and the existence of his church that has always seemed unlikely or unusual or insignificant from an outside perspective. An unseen God, his son dying on a cross, his followers who always seem to get it just as wrong as they get it right. Can this kingdom really be on par with the great kingdoms, the great philosophies or thinkers or social movements throughout history? And Jesus says not only is it on par with them, but it outdoes them. With one qualification, it outdoes them under the surface. It outdoes them in a way that's not immediately obvious. Its potential is hidden. Its power is not always in our face. One commentator puts it like this: there are many sects and ideologies that come along, and they always seem at first stronger than the church. They fly while the church limps, but they die while the church limps on. G.K. Chesterton traces some of the great challenges there have been to the Christian faith throughout history, and he says at least five times that he considers the Christian faith has to all appearances gone to the dogs. And in each case, he says, it was the dogs that died. God's kingdom is not like the kingdoms of this world. It is not. It is a seed hidden underground, small, subtle, unassuming, but bursting with potential. But bursting with what it can become and create and grow to shade and protect and nurture all those who would come to it. It's yeast hidden in dough, but just waiting to feed and nourish and enrich the lives of those who feed on it. Next two parables, the hidden worth of the kingdom. These are probably a little better known, these parables. Firstly, you get the man who finds treasure hidden in a field and in his joy sells everything to buy that field. And second, you get a merchant looking for fine pearls who finds one of such great value that again, in his joy, sells everything to buy it. In both cases, notice the man and the merchant, they are captured by the joy and the wonder and the worth of what it is they've found. And so they're willing to sell everything to hold on to it. Now, as far as we can tell, nobody tells them to sell everything. Nobody expects them to sell everything. But they just do it because that is the joy and the worth and the wonder of what they've found. It inspires that change within them. They've found something better than all the wealth in the world. Why not invest in it? It's not just good sense, it's not just good stewardship, it's good business, it's good everything. If you find something of more worth than everything you already have, you're willing to give it all up to hold on to this treasure or this pearl of great price. It's the joy they've found that inspires the change within them. Now that treasure or that pearl of great price has been planted in our lives as well. In each of our lives. And yet it's so easy for us to overlook its value, its worth, its joy, and what that joy can inspire within us. But we mustn't overlook that. The last few months of our experience, if anything, have reminded us that we can't take things for granted as Christians. We can't take our faith for granted, our fellowship for granted, our worship for granted, our work for granted. And yet that joy of the kingdom of God within us can inspire us to put aside every worldly plan and purpose and possession, if we need to or choose to, for the joy of holding on to the treasure, the kingdom of God planted within us. The hidden worth. Thirdly, the hidden warning. We learn that there is a warning within the teachings of Jesus and the parables, and this is the way he puts it today. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up to the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The potential of the kingdom of God and the worth of the kingdom of God is beyond what you could imagine, beyond what you can see. And now Jesus says, so too is the reach of the kingdom of God. It's a net cast into the world, and it catches and draws all kinds of fish, every cultural and social and economic and ethnic and geographic background. We sometimes joke that the Lutheran church is very Germanic, and it is. But the Christian church, the universal church, really does break the banks of every social, cultural, ethnic background there is and draws people together. It's like a net cast into the world, drawing fish of every kind. And yet the warning then comes in Jesus' words that not all the fish who enter the net get taken home in the basket. Now, you know, if you've gone fishing before, or probably even if you haven't, that it's great to catch fish, and if you go fishing with kids, it's great to catch anything. If something clings to the line, that's a win. And yet the experienced fisherman knows that you can't take home every fish for different reasons. There are distinctions. Some fish come home and some do not. What I think Jesus is doing here is warning us against a kind of spiritual complacency or false security that says, you know, God and I, we're good. I'm in the net. That's all there is to it. I'm safe. And yet Jesus says, yes, but, God searches the heart. And God seeks a righteousness that is by faith and grace and not a self-righteousness that says, I'm in the net because I deserve to be in the net. And he says that thinking is perilous and dangerous. You know, the fish have no more say over their destiny than a seed or yeast or pearls do. Its only hope is in the hands of the one who holds it. So too, our only hope as Christian people is in the hands of the one who holds us. Finally, the hidden treasure, the old and the new. Therefore, Jesus says, kind of bringing all these parables to a conclusion, every teacher of the law who's become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Pictures the kingdom of God as this storeroom of treasures, this kind of barn full of blessings, where there's more to be received than one could ever receive in a lifetime. And it makes me think of Aladdin in the Disney classic, Aladdin, when he first enters that cave of wonders. You know the scene I'm thinking of. And he finds, you know, all the hidden treasure of Egypt there, and there's just piles and mountains of gold and silver and rubies and all the rest of it. And then he discovers in the middle of all that treasure, the treasure he was really looking for and the treasure that makes sense of all the other treasure, it's the lamp with the genie inside. When we come into the kingdom of God, the cave of wonders, we find and discover more treasure than we could have ever imagined. More grace and mercy and peace and forgiveness and love and wisdom and direction and guidance, more than we could ever have imagined. Through the Word of God and the Spirit at work within us and the sacraments bringing His blessings to us, more piles and piles of blessings. And right in the middle of that treasure is one treasure that makes sense of all the treasure. And we call Him Jesus Christ. He is our lamp, our deepest desire. He is the seed that fell into the ground only to rise up again. He is yeast worked into dough, making it react and become more than it could have ever been. He is a treasure, a pearl, hidden in the field but worth giving up everything for. He is a net. He is the fisherman casting the net into the sea, but He's also the fish cast aside, making room in the basket so that we might be taken home with that great and gracious fisherman. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. We're only there in that basket by His grace and His mercy and the faith in Him which holds us there. Jesus is old and He's young, He's past and He's future. His mercies were secured for you on the cross, and they are new for you every morning, including this morning. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for all the treasures of Your kingdom, and we pray that they would grant us joy and inspire us to changed lives. We thank You for their blessings, and we pray that among them all we would discover the greatest treasure of Your Son and place our faith in Him and hold on to Him with both hands, as indeed He is holding on to us. In His name we pray. Amen.